Earlier this week, had a knock at the door, you know, one of those. And around our neighborhood, you can either be assured it's either going to be a solar company, you know, trying to get you to put solar on your house. It cracks me up because we already have solar on our house. It's just on the backside, so they can't see it. And they start giving us a spiel, and I go, excuse me, stop. We have solar. Oh, sorry to bother you. But, you know, other than that, sometimes it's people coming from their different churches, and they're knocking on the door. And it was wonderful but kind of sad at the same time, because I was having a beautiful dialogue with the two ladies that had knocked on the door. And just something in my heart just said, you know, can we pray together before you go on and do your, you know, go on to other houses, that the Lord might bless you. And she says, thank you, but I have to pass. I know. You're giving me the same look that I probably gave her. Huh? Yes, this is for church. And I said, well, why would you pass? Well, we preach to Jehovah God. I said, well, of course. Who else would you preach, or who else would you pray to? And we pray through Jesus Christ. I said, but of course. Who else would you pray through? I said, that's how it is. We pray to Jesus Christ through, or pray to God through Jesus Christ. I said, the Holy Spirit takes our full intentions of our prayer and makes them a sweet, savory thing in the presence of Jesus, and he takes them before God. She says, well, I think we happen to believe in different areas, and therefore I just have to decline. And you know, she was fine with everything until I said the word Holy Spirit is what really got to me. I went, wow, how sad that is, that, you know, we can follow after so many parts of the scripture, but we get to a certain portion of it and we're going to deny that one portion. And that's, to me, that's just denying the fullness of God and what he has in store for us. And it got me really to thinking that, you know, I was ready to allow them to come into our house to be part of us and have a discussion and offer them something to drink and, you know, maybe something to eat. And afterwards, I got to thinking, we really have to be cautious about what or who we let into our house, what or who we let into our environment, because we try to control what our kids do, right? True? Anybody here did not, when they had kids growing up, did you not try to control part of that environment with what your kids did? Tried, yeah, you tried. You know, I have to think that the time of when the Bible was being written, it was much easier to control the world and its influence upon your children and honestly upon yourself than it is today, because there are so many things that we have today that we invite the world into us. And we don't think much about it because we pass it off as technology. And we don't think about our minds, and because our minds are the, isn't it part of our soul? Isn't really what we think, what we feel, true? I mean, just to give you a case in point, I'm not picking on my wife. This is not part of the 90-day challenge, okay? This is an example. My wife can be perfectly fine until we get close to one of the bridges down in the Bay Area. Then all of a sudden, just because she knows there's a bridge there, her palms start to sweat. There's no evidence of any vehicle breakdown. There's nobody cutting us off. But she instantly, if I'm in the left-hand lane, says, get into the middle lane. Because she wants to go down the center. She wants me to get over it as soon as possible, because just the thought of going over the bridge terrifies her, and it causes her mood and everything to change. Now, for those that don't have a fear of going over a bridge, that seems silly to us, doesn't it? It seems like, wow, I wonder how that happened. What transpired in your life to give you the fear of going over a bridge? Whatever transpired in your life, we can't do anything about that. But what we can do is we can control some instances or things about how we start to feel about things. And it all starts with what we allow to get into here. Either it goes through our eyes or it goes through our ears, one of the two. There's nobody here that I know that is deaf and blind. And I was really thinking about this because I'm kind of in a quandary right now about how much do we allow into our house? How much do we allow ourselves to be part of the world? Think about it. Again, I'm going to pick on my wife. It is not part of the 90-day challenge. We get a newspaper every day. And it is not always uplifting stories in the newspaper. It typically isn't. Okay. I call our newspaper over there, I call it the appalling demagogue. Because it is, you know, and then they have the opinion section and the editorial, one and the same. A column is an opinion section. It's not always on the facts. It's always on somebody's, how they see something. And so it starts to maybe skew our point of view. I think about some of the books we read. Are they books that help to lift us up? Or are they books that maybe take us in a direction that we shouldn't be going? I'm not chastising anybody here today. I'm probably really looking more at myself than I am looking at you. I think about the TV shows that we watch. I see some of you going, oh, who here besides myself thinks that the majority of the television shows that have been produced the last few years are absolutely idiotic? Yeah. Do they bring any character? Do they do anything to help build up character? Or are they mostly mocking? Or do they have an agenda? I think today a lot of them have agendas for how we're supposed to feel about things. I know they're geared to our children, to where our children will accept things, and then as they get older, it just becomes part of the normality for the society. But you see, it starts with planting the seed of what is. As Bill Clinton used to say, all depends what is. But it starts to plant a seed. And so I think about, what are we watching on TV? Even movie-wise, because I like to watch movies. Now, so far, I haven't found anything bad in watching a sports activity, other than what upsets me is when people lift athletes so high on a pedestal that they feel like they have to be worshipped. And I draw the line there. So I get to thinking to myself, what is it, Lord? What is it that we do? Are we shaking the hands of the world and inviting them into our house? It says here in the scripture, it says 2 Corinthians, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord there is the freedom. But do we always invite the Spirit of the Lord into our house? Or do we at times invite the world into our house? See, because if we have the world in our house, then comes bondage and captivity. But if we have the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord in our house, there's freedom. It also says in the next part of in James, I put down, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? In other words, it's at odds against God. But you know, how many times do we pick up a phone and we go on Facebook? Anybody here Facebook? Be honest, how many people have Facebook and check Facebook all the time? Is it filled? What's it filled mostly with? Thank you. Is it, my wife would call it nattering, is it mostly gossiping about how somebody has treated me wrong or somebody's doing this and somebody's doing, oh, look at this. Why? Why? When I was a kid, I never would have thought to have to know about everything that goes on in your life or about what you think about somebody else's life. But all of this just got me to thinking, what are we filling our minds with? See, because all of those things are our influences. And somebody once said that we are the product of our influences. We are the product of our environment. And that is true to a certain point, but it's true, not true to a certain point, because we are to the sense of what we allow it to make us. Ultimately, we have the power, as through our choice that God has given us, to do that or not to do that, to think that way or to change that way. And Scripture is no different. Fighting the spirit of the flesh compared to the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit, it's no different. It says also, I didn't put this part up here, so you have to actually kind of follow me and believe me here. It says in Romans 8, 4 through 11, Paul's talking to the Romans, and he says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now you have to understand, you can't follow after God, receive the fullness of God, if all you ever have is just head knowledge of Him and you are trying to do certain things each day to be okay in the sight of God. Does this make sense? It's just like the big movement today of marriage. Okay? It has nothing, folks, I just want to let you know one thing. It has nothing to do with marriage. It has nothing to do with equality. It has to do with this. See, they have to use the word marriage. And to me, the word marriage is a biblical, a scriptural foundation. It's an institution that was blessed and come up with by God. And here's the reason why they want the word marriage in there. Because if the word marriage is okay, then it's okay in the eyes of the church. And if it's okay in the eyes of the church, then they're righteous in the eyes of God. But you see, that's letting the tail wag the dog. Because man does not dictate to the church does not dictate to Jesus, and Jesus does not dictate to God. It all stems from God, and it goes downhill from there. Does this make sense? I'm not against each and every person having 100% equal rights and equal opportunities in this land. I don't think anybody should be not given whatever benefits because of anything. But we don't have to use the word marriage. We can call it a union. We can call it a whatever a contract. Call it, give them all the same benefits. I don't care. But it is that word marriage that bothers me. Because I know that that is from God. So you have this spiritual side of God's people fighting against the earthly, fleshly side of the world. And they're at battle. And people cannot just do things mentally to be righteous with God. You have to do them spiritually from your heart. See, oh, man, this can get so deep, and I hope we have time. And I didn't even think this was going to be that long of a sermon today. When Christ came, that veil that was up in the temple, it was torn, wasn't it? You realize that when Moses came down off the mount, do you remember the story that he used to have to put a veil over his face because the glory of God was so bright upon him? But as his days became numbered, as well as the Jews' days became numbered, the glory of Moses started to fade. But yet he still kept wearing it. This time he didn't wear it to hide, to where people could look upon him. He hid it to hide himself because the glory of God was fading. See, the Old Testament led us to glory, but the New Testament, which is in Jesus Christ, gives us glory, fulfills that glory. Jesus is the glory that all the scripture talks about. But yet there are still a lot of people out there that want to do A, B, C, D, that is what's going to lead them to glory. They call that still living under the veil. And when we try to do that, then we're trying to battle the world ourselves. We're not letting the Spirit of the Lord into us to give us the freedom that we know that we need to have in order to deal with the world. And in order to deal with the world, then we have to know in our heart of hearts there are things that we have to do to take precautions to keep the world at bay. Who here knows that the majority of the great white sharks are around Australia? Anybody? They are, aren't they? I mean, they're out there in the beaches. I mean, they're out there a lot. Yeah, there are a lot of them out there. So knowing that, who here would want to swim in one part of the ocean that does not have netting or some sort of cage up that would keep the sharks out? You'd want to swim in that one that doesn't? Oh, you'd want to swim in the one that's safe, right? Yes. Exactly. We want the safety net. Well, we need to have the safety net around our own house, around us. We need to take some precautions that keep us safe, or else guess what? You're going to get your backside bit by something that bites a lot harder than the shark. So, going on in Scripture. So, as they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If we continue to grasp after the things of the world, the mindset of the world, the morals of the world, it will lead us to destruction. Now, do not get me wrong. Do I think having technology is a bad thing? Is it bad to have a cell phone? No. Is it bad to use Facebook? No, but to use it properly. Is it bad to have books in your house? No. Just make sure they're the right type of books. Is it bad to get a newspaper? I'll leave that one up to you. But you know, there are some people that keep it tuned to news channels 24/7. Do they not? I mean, CNN, constant negative news. Fox, constant negative news. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. You're not going to find most stories uplifting. They might throw one in every now and then. But most of the time, let's face it, you can not watch the news for 3 weeks. Come back and they're talking about the same things, aren't they? The same mayhem, the same political stuff going on. So it says here that the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so that the Spirit of the God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of this. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. Point is this: the more you make your surrounding and your home a place where the Lord is, you have freedom. We sing a song, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is hope. There is peace. There is joy. There is love. I have sometimes people come to me and say, I don't know what happened in our house. It's like all of a sudden Satan took over and this child was fighting with that child and this happening here. And I'm going, you know what? You need to control it. When we have children or grandchildren over at our house and they're sitting there with headphones on, you probably should want to find out what's going through into those little ears. Because I guarantee you, the majority of the time, it doesn't lift you up. We just need to be really cautious. There is a bubble about us. And God has given us spiritual angels to fight battles for us. But if God has angels there for you and they're fighting off all these things of the world for you, and you just keep inviting them back, okay, Lord, you killed that one, now let me get somebody to replace that one. He kills that one. Okay, let me bring another one. Kills that one. Let me bring another one. Kills that one. Scripture says that if you cast one demon out and invite them back, they come back how many fold? Sevenfold. That means it gets tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher to overcome. Surround yourself by the things of the Spirit of the Lord. You'll start to find freedom. You'll find strength. You'll find joy. You'll find happiness. You'll find contentment. Does it mean the things of life will go smooth? I wish. I really wish. We saw a great sign yesterday. It said faith. It doesn't make everything easier. It just makes all things possible. Surround yourself in the ways of the Lord. Make your house a house of the Lord. If Jesus walked into your room or to your home today and started doing inventory, started searching your computer or searching your telephone system or searching your whatever it happens to be to find out the history of the stuff that you do or that you listen to, would you feel comfortable? Would I feel comfortable? No. I hope Jesus is a Giants fan. I really do. So, anyway, I do not mean to
sit here this morning and criticize or chastise. It's as much meant for me as it is for you. Because typically he does put something on my heart that's not meant for all of us.